Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
Hi, I'm Tom, and today we're traveling overseas.
Wait, how do I know you're Tom? Show me your passport.
I don't have to show you my passport as long as we're inside Taiwan.
Oh, okay.
I've got my ARC here. I could show you that, or my driver's license. But if I am going overseas and I'm crossing an international border into another country, I better have my passport.
You'd better have your passport, or you're not going anywhere. One time I went to the airport for a trip abroad, which means leaving the country, and of course I left my passport on my desk at home.
It's awful. It's criminal.
Yeah.
It's crime.
You need your passport if you're trying to get yourself to another country. Or sometimes you need your passport, at least for foreigners here in Taiwan. I need my passport if I'm going to get a shipment from FedEx. They don't want my ARC. They want my passport.
It's pretty important document. I don't know how often you have to show your passport within Taiwan, but if certainly you are traveling overseas, you better have your passport ready, and you better know if it's valid or if it has expired or things like that, because you know nothing can ruin a trip more than realizing that you've already purchased your flight tickets, and then you find out that your passport has expired, and you've got to apply for a new one and get photos taken and stuff like that.
And that's not a short process. Sometimes it takes at least 2 or 3 weeks.
It can take quite some time. I think the process is relatively shorter here in Taiwan for local citizens.
Good.
But for us, say for Americans, if we need a new passport, it's going to take some time. Which that reminds me, I should probably check my expiration date to see exactly when it's due. But in any case, we're going to be specifically talking about the history of passports. It seems like at one time in the past, you didn't really need a passport to travel to other countries. Now you do. But let's talk a little bit about the history of passports. Let's read our entire lesson right now from top to bottom and find out a thing or two about passports.
St. Augustine once said, "The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only a page." Thankfully, it's easier for people to journey to foreign lands nowadays than ever before. However, there's one prerequisite that every international traveler must meet: owning a passport. Although travel documents existed in ancient times, the origin of the official passport dates back to 15th century England. It was the idea of King Henry V, who wanted to assist his subjects in proving their identity while abroad. The term passport first came into use during the 1540s. It's a combination of the French words passer, which means to enter or leave, and port, which refers to a shipping port. Until the 1900s, it didn't really matter whether international travelers had passports because few nations checked them. That changed at the start of World War I. Great Britain designed the first modern passport in 1914. It was just a single page, protected by a flimsy cardboard cover. On the page were the person's photograph, their signature, and a description of their skin tone and features. Comments such as "big nose" or "small eyes" were common, but later considered to be insulting to many travelers and eliminated. After World War I ended, the League of Nations decided to create some shared guidelines to set a standard for valid passports. At a conference in 1920, it agreed upon certain rules that prohibited funny faces and strange clothing in passport pictures. Although times have changed, many of these standards still exist to this day. In modern times, passports are printed in shades of 4 colors: red, black, green, and blue. It's up to each nation to choose which color represents it the best. No matter what a passport looks like, it remains the key that opens the door to global travel.
Okay, so the title of our article for today is show me your passport. That's what you might hear if you cross an international border or if you fly from Taiwan to some other place. They may ask to see your passport and your visa, your travel documents, etc., etc. So let's talk a little bit about the history here. Let's talk about St. Augustine. This particular person once said, "The world is a book, and those who do not travel read only a page." I guess that's in support of traveling. If you want to know a thing or two about the world, you best travel. If you stay put in one place, you're not going to be very smart, at least according to St. Augustine, although maybe some Buddhist monks may say, no, you can probably get to the universe in a grain of sand. You can just stay in one place and know hundreds of times more things than people who travel to thousands of different countries. But that, of course, depends on your opinion. And if you do travel, again, you're going to need that passport.
This is an interesting quote. My friend, who is actually here in Asia, she's a professor in Korea, she has this particular quote on all her emails because she likes to travel all over the place. So if you're lucky enough to travel, you do learn a lot about the world and people that way. So it's a good idea if you can get out there and travel. But the next sentence says, thankfully, nowadays, it's easier for people to journey to foreign lands. It's easier nowadays than ever before. Nowadays is just in the modern era that we're in today. It's easier today than ever before. It's easier nowadays than ever before. I agree with that. It is somewhat easier because it's faster, but going through all of the security checks, if you're flying on the planes, you know, that's not so easy.
And, of course, the bar is higher nowadays because more and more people are traveling, and the reason people travel, a big reason why they travel is so they can come back and have bragging rights about where they went to.
I don't care about that.
Oh, you don't, huh? No. Yeah, I bet you don't care about that. But, yeah, people are going to more exotic locations than they used to have something a little extra that other people don't have. But in any case, yes, indeed, one thing that you need to have before traveling is a document, and here it says, however, there's one prerequisite that every international traveler must meet, owning a passport. So this is a prerequisite. That's something you need ahead of time before you can do something else. I heard that word mostly when I was in university. If you wanted to take a certain class, I said, well, you know, Chinese 101 is a prerequisite. You can't take second year Chinese until you take first year Chinese. That is a prerequisite, unless you take some kind of test or something.
Yeah, if you take a test, you might test out of that lower class, which is what I recommend anyone try, if it's possible. I wanted to mention St. Augustine. Who is this fellow? He's a patron saint in the Catholic Church. He's the patron saint of brewers. I thought that was amusing because if you brew something, it's usually beer. So he's the patron saint of brewers, Tom.
Okay.
And he liked to have a good time while he was alive.
So, yes, indeed. I don't think that has anything to do with this quote, though. I think our writer here needed a quote about traveling.
No, this came from him. He traveled a lot. He liked to go visit lots of places and friends. So it makes sense that he had this kind of quote, at least to me.
Certainly, but I don't think he needed a passport when he traveled, but nowadays, of course, a passport is a prerequisite, and we'll go on now to the next paragraph and talk about that. It says, although travel documents existed in ancient times, the origin of the official passport dates back to 15th century England. So if you go back to ancient times, 1,000 years ago or so, we did have travel documents. If you go back maybe 2,000 years ago, the travel documents were kind of silly, because they were these big, huge stone tablets that you had to take with you.
They were heavy.
They were heavy, and how could you fit them in your suitcase?
Forget
but you
it.
Needed them. We had to wait, of course, until paper was invented before things got to be more convenient. But in any case, they have existed since ancient times, but the origin of the official passport dates back to 15th century England, so that would be the 1600s in England. And this is the origin of the official passport. The origin here is the source of something, where something came from, the beginning of something's existence.
Yeah, and it dates back to 15th century England, which means the 1400s. We often use that phrase, dates back to talk about when it started, or you could say goes back to. You could also use that phrase. Well, it was the idea of King Henry V. He was the king that decided he wanted to help his subjects. His subjects were the people he ruled over. So a king has subjects, and he wanted to help them in their travels. Getting this idea of a passport just helped prove their identity while they were going from country to country. So King Henry V, I'm going to take a guess, is England. And Europe is pretty small. It's pretty easy to go from one country to another pretty quickly. So he thought, I'm going to help him out and come up with a way that they can prove who they really are, their identity.
Your identity, exactly. Mm. Who you are, your name, your number, etc., etc., maybe your blood type, your height, your weight, your eye color, whatever. And so here, this was the idea of King Henry V.
Yeah.
And he wanted to assist or help his subjects in providing their identity while abroad. Your subjects, of course, are your people, the people who are underneath you, especially if you're a king or an emperor. If you're the manager of a company, I don't think you'd call the people beneath you your subjects. You'd call them your, what would you call them anyway, your subordinates?
Yeah.
Something like that. But you wouldn't call them your subjects. That's what a king would call his or her, in the case of a queen, the people beneath you.
Uh-huh. Now, the term passport first came into use, was first used, you could say, during the 1540s. So it goes back quite a ways there, 1540s. It's a combination of the French words passé and port. Port, if it's French, is probably port with no T, but because we're English speakers, we're going to say port, and that referred to a shipping port, and passé just means to pass through, to enter, to leave, so it makes sense that they would put those two words together. You're passing through different ports, going from country to country, and a port, a shipping port, of course, is on the edge of the ocean. That's where the ships or the boats would dock.
Yeah, and if you were crossing from England to another country, you certainly would be going in a boat, at least at that time. Mm. So you would enter France or Belgium or Germany through
Ireland.
A port,
yeah.
Ireland, etc. But nowadays, of course, you can fly, but still the origin was the word port. And again, it's a combination. When you put two things together, it's a combination of something. Like here in Taiwan, a famous drink is a pearl milk tea. That would be a combination of milk and tea and tapioca balls.
Uh-huh. Well, right now we're going to take a few minutes to listen to our Chinese teacher, and then we'll be back to talk more about passports and the history of passports.
Hello, everyone. My name is Tina. 我们今天首先来看到在第一个空格是考考同学们语气转成词。这样子的考试呢，就要请同学提醒一下前面的句子跟后面句子之间的关联。首先来看到第一个空格前面的句子提到 Thankfully, it's easier for people to journey to foreign lands nowadays than ever before. 在这里呢，其实是带着比较正面的看法说呢，现今的人们要旅行到异地，比以往的任何时候都还要来得容易。而在这里第一个空格要用一个语气转成词连接后面的句子提到 There's one prerequisite that every international traveler must meet.Owning a passport. 后面提到有一个是所有国际的旅者都必须要符合的一个标准跟规范，就是要拥有一本护照。前面说的很简单容易，后面却说 must 必须要达成，所以语气做了一个呢180度的大转弯。所以在这里我们可以选择 A 选项 however 然而，虽然简单，然而你却必须要符合一个条件，就是要拥有护照。而护照怎么来的呢？我们来看一下第二个空格的句子。 It was the idea of King Henry V who wanted to assist his subjects improving their blank to while abroad. 原来呢是在15世纪英格兰，这个呢亨利五世他的想法，他呢是想要帮助他的国民，在这里的 subjects 指的是他的国民，要能够证明他们的什么，当他们在国外的时候。第二题 A 选项 contrast 对比对照， B privilege 特权， C identity 身份， D triumph 胜利。当然咯，人在国外要证明自己的身份，所以呢他就想出了护照这个东西来。所以第二题搭配文意标准答案，我们选择 C identity。接着呢来看到第三个空格，前面提到这个 passport 这个字到底怎么来的呢，我们直接看后半句 passer which means to enter or leave and port which blank three a shipping port。 原来啊这个 passer 指的就是进入或者是离开的意思， a port 则指的呢当时是一个运输港。我们来看一下第三题， A 选项 refers to 指称提及， B abides by 遵从， C disposes of 丢弃处置， D yearns for 渴望。搭配文意，当时的 port 指的呢就是运输港的意思，所以第三题的标准答案就选择 A refers to。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. We're talking about the history of passports, and we have to go back to 15th century England for the origin of the official passport that we all know and love nowadays. It was begun by Henry V, and the word, of course, we talked about the origin there. It comes from French, passe, did I say that right?
Passe.
Passe, and port. And put those words together in a combination, and you've got passport.
Cool.
And, of course, nowadays you've got your own passport. And until the 1900s, it didn't really matter whether international travelers had passports because few nations checked them. This sounds similar. When I was a kid, we went up to Canada for a couple of trips, and they didn't really need to see your passport if you went up to Canada. U.S., Canada, they have a strong relationship with each other. And the same for Mexico, too. If you crossed into some of the border towns like Tijuana or Mexicali or Reynosa, you didn't really need to have a passport. But if you went further into Mexico, then you needed one.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, my whole family went to Tijuana when I was in college. And a lot of my younger brothers and sisters had no passport. I didn't even think about that. We didn't need one. Hmm. And Canada, the security guards there, they just ask you where you're from, and then you go in. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe things are a little bit more strict now, Tom.
Yeah, I would check the regulations first because, the last time I was in Canada was 20 years ago so things may have changed.
The world was different, yeah.
Things change fast, you bet.
Well, until the 1900s, you really didn't even need a passport because here, it says few nations or very few nations even check them, but it was good to keep them on you just in case. That changed at the start of World War I. Borders became very serious.
Exactly.
Great Britain designed the first modern passport in 1914. It was just a single page protected by a flimsy cardboard cover. Flimsy means not very strong. You can kind of bend it. I would say our earlier ARC cards were really flimsy.
Yeah.
You could bend them. But now they've got that strong plastic around them. Well, it was a flimsy cardboard. Cardboard is a thick paper product that we make boxes out of a lot of times. If you can't think of what cardboard is, think of a box. It's usually made of cardboard.
Exactly. And, this was like the first modern passport. Single page. It's got a flimsy cardboard cover. And I think it also had a picture, as it says here, on the page where the person's photograph. their signature, and a description of their skin tone and features. Of course, photography has been with us since the mid-1850s, maybe even a little earlier than that. So, of course, they could reproduce photographs for passports then. You had to sign it as well, so you could maybe match it when you crossed the border. And then it had a description of your appearance, your skin tone, were you fair-skinned, were you dark, etc., and also your features. Do you have big ears that stuck out, a huge snout, very thin eyelashes and things like that? Did you talk with a lisp or something? Did you have big buck teeth or whatever? Those things would be considered insulting now, but I guess realistically they do help identify us.
Yeah. I wanted to mention this word features. When someone's talking about a person's features, they really are talking about the parts of their face, like their eyes, their nose, their mouth, their forehead, their big nose or snout, as Tom just said. Comments are remarks that you make. Usually they're opinions or a reaction to something. I know in the news, they'll often, reporters will ask for a comment from someone that they're trying to get a story on. Do you have any comments? And if they don't want to talk, what do they say? No comment. Well, comments on these passports were pretty interesting. Big nose, can you imagine? Or small eyes. But later they thought, that's a little insulting, so maybe we should take those off. If you say something that's insulting to somebody, you say something that's rude or kind of abusive, mean about someone. And so, thankfully, our features are not described anymore on our passports.
Yeah, to describe someone as being really fat or having a big nose can be insulting in Western culture, whereas in other cultures,
that's
I
true.
Guess it might not be.
Maybe.
You have to check with the culture that you're dealing with. And after World War I ended, I think that was in 1919, the League of Nations decided to create some shared guidelines to set a standard for valid passports. Before we had the United Nations, we had the League of Nations, so they decided to have some guidelines, which are some kinds of rules or something that everybody's supposed to follow. It's you know, not something you're going to go to jail for if you break, but they're like general rules or principles or even a piece of advice.
Yeah, that's a good way to get a standard for everybody. So everybody kind of is, you know, using the same standards. Those are guidelines, standards or guidelines. At a conference in 1920, it agreed upon certain rules that prohibited things like funny faces and strange clothing, maybe costumes, in passport pictures. That made me laugh. If you go to a conference, it's usually a big meeting where a lot of people attend. Sometimes it goes several days. You might have a business conference that you fly to another city to attend, and you'll have a whole day of meetings or maybe a whole day of just one meeting, depending on what you're doing. And you stay in a hotel, and it's kind of fun. Well, at this conference back in 1920, it's then that these people who were attending got together and said, okay, let's have these rules. They all agreed that maybe we shouldn't have funny faces on our passport pictures or wear weird clothes. Now, if you prohibit something, you say that this is something that you cannot do. It could be a rule that you come up with or a law. For example, cigarettes are prohibited in restaurants these days.
Or smoking on sidewalks is now prohibited in Taipei City, I understand.
Oh, I thought it was only the bus stops. That's all.
Could
that's
be.
All, that's
could
all I've
be.
Seen.
My impression is that you can't smoke on sidewalks anywhere, but I could be wrong there.
Really?
But in any case, smoking is prohibited in a lot of places.
Yeah.
And in the past, I suppose you could have a goofy face for your passport if you wanted to, but these rules prohibited that. You had to keep a straight face. I think even when my parents got their passports to travel, the rule then was that you couldn't smile. You just had to have a basic deadpan face, just a basic expressionless face like you would normally when you're walking down the sidewalk.
I always got that feeling about the Taiwan photos, the school, the student photos that I saw years and years ago. Everybody was just not smiling. Just a very serious look.
Well, that's what we look like most of the time, unless we're with our friends or looking at funny pictures on our phones or whatever. But in any case,
I'm glad we can smile now, though.
We can certainly smile on our passports now. And again, the funny faces and strange clothing were prohibited back then. But although times have changed, many of these standards still exist to this day. Strange clothing, you can probably wear that that if it's representative of your culture or whatever. If you're wearing weird clothing just to be funny, just to show off, they probably might restrict that. I'm not quite sure. But some of these standards are still around, so check with your local government to see what you can look like in a passport photo.
Now, I think this is just my opinion, but I would be shocked if you were rejected for wearing strange clothes. Who's to decide what strange is, you know?
Right.
I think maybe a costume you would get thrown away or thrown out. They wouldn't let you do that. But we've got a lot of strange clothes in our culture now, you know? And I would think they could go ahead and be who they wanted to be.
Although I think they would prohibit people posing naked for their passport photos.
I would guess you do need clothes. That's a requirement.
Probably should have something there. And also we've got some other guidelines here. In modern times, it says passports are printed in shades of four colors, red, black, green, and blue. I did not know there were only four colors. These are shades of these different colors. So there are certain types of red, not bright red like an apple or a strawberry, but a more subdued
light,
kind of red.
Medium, dark, different
shades. It's more of a dark red and just solid black, dark green, and dark blue.
I've never seen black yet.
I haven't seen that either, but I think Japan's passports are red, and Taiwan, of course, they're green, and the U.S. passports are blue, as are the U.K. passports, etc.
Yeah. Well, it's up to each nation, each country, to choose which color represents it the best. If you represent something, you are a symbol for it, you're standing for it. And so these colors represent or stand for your country. We have blue, as Tom said, in the States. No matter what a passport looks like, though, it remains the key that opens the door to global travel. These days, it's a must-have. You can't travel, globally at least, without a passport. Right now, guys, we're going to listen one more time to our Chinese teacher.
接着我们来看一下护照上要有什么样子的要件呢？第四个空格的句子提到 On the page, blank for the person's photograph, their signature, and a description of their skin tone and features. 其实在护照上要有照片、签名，还有用来叙述自己的肤色跟容貌。同时要特别注意，这是一个倒装句，把地方副词 on the page 提到句首来，主词在后面的照片、签名跟你的肤色以及特征的描述是复数，来描述当时的情形。所以根据文意，第四题我们的标准答案就选择 D, were. 第五个空格 comments such as big nose or small eyes were common, but later considered to be insulting to many travelers and blank five. 还有一些评论，像是大鼻子、小眼睛这一类的评注也常见在护照当中。不过想当然尔，这个后来啊，被认为旅对旅客来说相当的 insulting, 侮辱人的、无理的，而且也就因此被怎么样了。 A 选项 negotiated, 商量。 B applauded,鼓掌。 C interpreted 翻译。 D eliminated 消除。后来这样的评语就被消除了，所以第五题的标准答案选择 D 选项。第六个空格的句子写着 After World War I ended, the League of Nations decided to create some shared guidelines to set a standard for blank six passports. 那么在一次世界大战结束之后呢，这个 The League of Nations 就决定要创建一些共用的指南，来替这样的护照建立一套标准。我们来看用哪一个形容词。第六题 A. Antique, 古董的。 B. Punctual, 准时的。 C. Valid, 合法的、有效的。 D. Toxic, 有毒的。当然是为有效的护照的内容来定一个共同的标准，所以第六题的标准答案选择 C. Valid。第七个空格前面有提到了，其实呢国家可以自己选择他们想要的颜色，而后面则是提到 blank 7 a passport looks like it remains the key that opens the door to global travel. 其实啊在这里要先考考同学文法，前后都是两个完整的句子，所以我们需要一个连接词，而在这里呢我们可以选择 B 选项。 No matter what, 不论这样子的护照看起来像什么，那么呢，它还是在我们旅游的时候可以帮助我们开启游历世界的大门之钥。所以第七题，合乎文法以及句意，标准答案就选择 B, no matter what. OK, 以上就是今天的课文讲解，谢谢收听。
Okay, everybody, that brings us to the end of our program, and if you are planning to travel overseas soon, you best make sure that your passport is up to date. From all of us here at English Digest, I'm Tom.
I'm Stephanie.
Goodbye.
Bye.